So this week is actually going to be relatively short, just because there's not as much. So, but it, hopefully content will be good. So the parsha opens up. Parsha Tetzaveh begins discussing the menorah, and the Chasover immediately points out that there's a connection between the very end of Parsha Truma to the beginning of this parsha. The last word in Parsha Truma is Nechoshes. So the Chasover points out the word Nechoshes is a contraction of Noach and Shes. Does Noach and Shes do anything? Chasover says that Moshe apparently was a Gilgal of Noach and Shes. What did Noach and Shes have to do with Moshe? Did anything? So the Chasover writes that Noach and Shes were the ones who built the world up after the Mabul. They were the ones who continued to construct the world, and therefore he says that they represented Olam Hazeh, whereas Moshe Rabbeinu represents, Heichal represents Olam Haba. And he says that, a very interesting diuk actually, in the Pasuk in Parsha Acharimos, it talks about the Isser of entering the Kodesh Kadashim, right? By Aaron, it says that Aaron can, Veloy Yavo Becholis Ala Kodesh and Beis La Paruches. So the Chasover points out that Isser is dafka for Aaron. Aaron couldn't enter the Kodesh Kadashim except on Yom Kippur, but apparently Moshe had a head to enter the Kodesh Kadashim at other points during the year, apparently. Then the Chasover points out that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives reward. He gives schar tov to the people who are makayim the Torah, and he punishes the people who don't, people who try to destroy the Torah. And of course, you know, famously, that Moshe Rabbeinu's name does not appear anywhere in Parshas Tetzaveh. It's the only parsha from his birth until his death in Parshas Yosef Bracha where his name does not appear. So there's a lot of different, you know, perushim why that is. So Chasam Sofer says that the reason why Moshe's name was not associated with the Mishkan was because that it was the Mishkan was destroyed as a result of the Eyal, and therefore Moshe didn't want his name associated with it. Other Mepharshim point out that it could be because Aaron, this is really the parsha of Aaron. Parsha Tzav is all about the big day Kahuna. So Moshe doesn't really have a place in this parsha. It's really more a focus on Aaron. I think I believe it was Rav Ovadia who said that because in next week's parsha, so Moshe says Mecheinina Misifracha Asher Kasafta. So that, of course, is the allusion to the fact that Moshe wanted to have his name erased in some regard. So the question is, why was the key of Dafka in Parshas Tetzaveh? So Rav Ovadia says, well, because the word Misifracha is Sefer Chaf, and Sefer Chaf is Tetzaveh because it's the 20th parsha. Whatever, these are different Ravasim. Fine. Then, also, as we said before, so Chasover again explains that Moshe was a Gilgal of Shes and Noach, but he points out that the component of Pilpul HaTorah, which I think we spoke about last week, Gemara Nedarim, that Moshe Rabbeinu was given Pilpul HaTorah as a reward for himself, which he didn't have to give over to the rest of the class. So he chose on his own to give it over. You know, the rest of Torah was part of the Masorah for him to give over, but Pilpul HaTorah was a gift dafka for Moshe, so that had to be Zach V'Naki B'li Shmarim, just like Shem and Zayah Zach. So too, so the Pilpul HaTorah that Moshe Rabbeinu gave over had to be completely pure. There had to be nothing wrong with it. Then the Chasover points out also that whoever is supported by other people in this world, and they don't rely on Hashem to have a, you know, certain degree of bitachon to have their parnasa. So he said that they're going to be no del chayav me olam haba. They're going to lose their chilek in olam haba. But he says those people who learn Torah don't have and they don't have the time to be osek in business in pragmatia. So therefore, it's a nisayon for them to actually learn Torah and to be sustained by others. And that's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu means when he says in the end of Parshas Bishalach, Lamanan Hasenu Hayilich Besora Si Imlo. Hashem says I'm going to test Klal Yisrael to see if they're going to follow my Torah. And he says even though the man was sweet, we know Parshas Bishalach describes very in a lot of detail how sweet the man was. It was actually a nisayon for Klal Yisrael to bear that fact. In other words, it's hard for a person to have to be supported by others. A person of biikaron wants to be able to learn and also not have to take money from other people. He wants to be able to learn and be self-sufficient and not have to rely on other people and rely on HaKadosh Baruch Hu to help him. Obviously, that's not usually practical, but he says that's HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It pained them that the man was so sweet. It pained them that everything was handed on a silver platter. They couldn't actually work for anything. Also, the Chasam Sofer points out that a lot of the psukim in the beginning of Tetzaveh are allusions to Yemos HaMashiach, to, you know, to the menorah, to the idea of Shem and Zayuzach. And also, he says that the famous Gemara, the Ksubis Gemara talks about how the fruit trees in the future, that, you know, all the non-fruit-bearing trees are going to bear fruit in the future in the Mashiach. So he says that one olive is going to provide, you know, tons of olive oil, and it's going to the olive tree grows and continuously regrow and provide plenty of oil for the future. We know also famously this is based on Pesukim and say from Malachim when it describes the Beis Hamikdash that Shlomo built. So the Pesukim say that the windows in the Beis Hamikdash were shkufim matumim, right? The windows, they were facing outwards. So normally when you build a window, you want the light to come in, not the light to go out. So why were the windows built shkufim atumim, built facing outwards? So the Mefarshim explain, because the Beis HaMikdash doesn't need light. HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't need light. Hashem is the source of light, right? So therefore, the windows were dafka, built outwards. This way, the old light would go out. So that's why in the Mishkan, there were no windows, because you don't need light in the Mishkan. Everything was from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Pasuk, as before, describes the oil as Shem and Zayizach. So the Chasam Sofer explains that the Chashmonaim couldn't rely on squeezing out the olives pachos pachos mikabetza, and this is already like a very lumpish like tomb of a tarot, where he says that they couldn't start squeezing out their olives a little bit less than a kibetza at a time. The din is that we have a shear of a kibetza, so it's going to be machsh or something with kabel tumah. In other words, if you take, let's say, the kelim that you're squeezing into, and you squeeze out more than a kibetza at a time, you can run into problems of tumas kelim, and you run into problems of cherev harayu kachal, which is the whole lumpish din of a kama mishnayis in taharus. He says, so one reason why they needed shem and zayzach is because they couldn't rely on squeezing out the olives, or there's which everyone says over is because Shevet Asher lived, 4 days away each direction, and therefore, that's why we have to eat this. So Chanukah, all these different parts about that.
How do you squeeze out a kibitzah of oil from Azayas?
From Azayas, that's a phenomenal question. I could tell you, I don't know if it's about this, I don't know what this is, but there's a very famous shuv in the Note of Yehuda where he talks about how the shiurim of Kazesim have increased today, and I don't know. Yeah, that's a very definitely a fair question. Okay. Now, so Chazal points it also like this. He says that we know from Megillas Esther actually that Esther tells Mordechai that I can't appear lefnei melech b'levush sakh. She tells that to Mordechai. In other words, she says you cannot be wearing sackcloth when you come in front of the king. It's not appropriate. Chazal points out that the opposite is true as well. You cannot go in front of the king wearing such gaivadik clothing, wearing like fancy schmancy clothing that you have to wear mechubad clothing, but you can't wear you can't look better than the king does, or you can't wear big day malchus. He says, so what's the heter for Kohanim to do avoda in front of Hashem wearing these fancy schmancy clothes? He says, obviously the Gemara points out the way we seem to assume that the Kohanim are Shluchei Derachmana. The Kohanim, they're really serving Hashem. They're not, in other words, the Begadim are like a fun. There's a very big machlokes in the Gemara in Zevachim, whether the Begadim are Ma'akiv, the Avoda, the Begadim are an integral part, whether they're Ma'akiv or they're an integral part of the Avoda, and therefore that's what the Pasuk says, Lecha Hanoli, that part of the service of the Avoda are the Begadim, and therefore the Begadim are also, they define who the Kohen really is, and it's part of what the Kohen wears. Okay, also, this is a fascinating shot. Chazor has an amazing shot here. He says that we know there's a Gemara Megillah that points out that Achashverosh wore big day kuhn. The Gemara says, Gemara learns from Gzeir Shava. It's not really Gzeir Shava. It's kind of like a drusha. The Gemara says in this week's parasha, it says that the big day kuhn wore the chavur l'sefaris. And it says in the Megillah, it says that Achashverosh had yikart feres gedula. So the Gemara says, you see from here that Achashverosh, malame shalavash big day kuhuna. So first of all, Chazor says, why on earth was he wearing big day kuhuna for it? So he says that the big day kuhuna accentuate the paradox of being an anav. In other words, he says that Achashverosh wanted the malchus for himself, and he didn't want any of his other officers or whoever or nobles to start up with him and to try and take away the malchus. And he says what he did was he flattered the poorer people, the lower class, by telling him that they were all so rare b'veisom. Achashverosh tells all the people there, Leos Kolish so rare b'veisom dabir kiloshon amo, that all the people, you're going to be in charge of your house. He says the big day kahuna was all a farce to make people believe he was an anav. Why would they make people believe he was an anav? So the Chasam Sofer explains that Aaron was the paradigm of, he was always Shalom Rode Shalom, he related to people. On the other hand, he was the Kohen Gadol. So he had this kind of like a paradox situation where he was one of the highest people in the nation, but he also related to people. So Achashverosh wanted to put on that same show. He wore the big day kahuna to kind of show to people, pretend to show to people that he was the head of the nation, but he was also relatable. So this way people would like him more and they would relate to him more. The Kli Yakar points out that we know that part one of the nisim in the Beis Hamikdash was that the neiros of the menorah lit constantly, right? They were lit b'tamid, and he says the reason why we needed the nes of the ner maravi of the middle candle to light was because we cannot enter the Kodesh Kadashim to see the nes of the luchos. He says that Moshe represents this nes of the neiros being lit because Moshe gave shefa from himself without detracting from himself. Moshe was able to be like a ner, was able to give off light without ever detracting from himself, and it says that's also b'shat when Moshe Rabbeinu was born. So the Medrash says, and this Mali Abai is Kulo Ora, right? That's what Rashi quotes in Parsha Shemos when the Pasuk says after Moshe was born. So it says Vayaros Okitohu. So the Medrash doesn't mean he was good. So the Medrash says that when Moshe was born, the house filled up with light. So Moshe represents light. Moshe represents the Neros of the menorah. And he says also when the Pasuk says Va'ata Tetzaveh, that refers to Moshe's essence, which is the issue of the Ner and the Ner of the Torah are Nikra Al Shem Moshe, right? Right? Kakasub Torah's Moshe Avdi. The Torah is always referred to by Moshe's name. Then the Kli Yakar points out that the Ner, which was Michut La Paroches, right, it's the passage at the beginning of the parasha, the Ner was outside of the Paroches, says that was the Idus, that was the testimony, that was the Raya that Hashem dwelled amongst Klal Yisrael. And he says the reason why the Ner was Michut La Paroches was to show that HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't need the light. Hashem doesn't need our light, as we mentioned before. And it says, Eilecha, right, to stress that even Moshe, who was Kipnei Chama, the famous Gemara in Baba Basra, the Gemara says, Kipnei Moshe, Kipnei Chama, Kipnei Yoshua, Kipnei Levana, that Moshe's face was like the sun, even though he radiated light, but he also needed a certain measure of light, of spiritual light to come into him as well. Then, also, the Kli Yakar points out that when it comes to the mitzvah of giving tzedakah, so he says that a person's first priority should always be towards the spiritual benefit of the menorah, meaning we should always give towards things that are more spiritually oriented before you give for something like a carbon mincha, which is a physical thing, like a tangible thing. You should always you know, prioritize the spiritual first. Then the pasuk says that the candles have to, the menorahs have to be lit erev ad boker. So Das Kanan points out that in the summertime when the nights were longer, so again the Gemara talks about how
Rashi
says
something about Teves.
Yeah, exactly. So this is basically Gemara Menachos. Gemara says that in the month of Teves, when the nights are the longest, in the middle of the winter, so he says you have to have a significant amount of oil to be able to light for, let's say, 16 hours. So Taz Kedem says it wasn't the Pshat that they just, in the summertime, just had tons of leftover oil. Like when the nights were shorter, he says they made the wicks thicker in the summertime, so this way all the oil would burn up even in the summer. And the pasuk says, "Va'ata hakriv elecha es Aaron achicha mitoch bnei Yisrael." Right, to designate Aaron to be the one to light the menorah. So the Kli Yakar writes that the reason why Aaron was zocha to do this avodah was because, as we said from the word va'ata tetzaveh, because even though Aaron sinned by the chera eagle, so Moshe davened on Aaron's behalf. And he says, and Aaron really didn't deserve to have the Shechina rest on him, but he only got it because of Moshe Rabbeinu, and also because bnei Yisrael needed him as a peacemaker. He was the Oyel Shalom Verud Yisshalom. So it was kind of Aaron, not in his own merit necessarily, but because of Moshe, because he was needed for Klal Yisrael, that's why he was zochet to be able to light the menorah. Then the pasuk says, when Hashem tells Moshe to go choose someone to go build the Mishkan, which is already from last week's parasha, and also next week's parasha, next week with Bezalel and Aholiyah, and the pasuk says, "Vato tedaber kol chachmei leiva shirmi leisiv ruach chachma." So here the pasuk is talking about making the big dekun. Anyone who has a measure of chachma in them, a ruach chachma, they should come make the big dekun. So the Chasam Sofer writes that every person has what's called chachma netua belibo. Every person has chachma implanted in their heart, but it has to be brought out. You have to, sometimes kind of bring out the chachma. He says, therefore, Moshe informed them that they were chachmei lev, and memela, if they were chachmei lev, they would have enough chachma to make the big day. Whoever met the criteria of being a chachmei lev, who had ruach chachma, so they would be of the ability to make the big day kahuna. And then the Kli Yakar writes that from your added measure of chachma, you're going to be mashpia on them, right? The added chachma you have, you're going to influence everyone else. And he says that mele, the apostle says, asher mele siv ruach chachma, you're filled up with the spirit of chachma. That's referring to the shefa that Moshe Rabbeinu provided, and that he spilled over towards other people. Pasuk says, "Ve'ila habegodim asher yasu choshen ve'ifodu me'il." Right, the pasuk can describe the big day kahuna. So the Kli Yakar writes that Hakadosh Baruch Hu, the Torah puts choshen before the ephod to show that kilkol hadin is more severe than avodah zarah. We know that the choshen, the Gemara says in Shabbos, choshen is mechaper for evos hadin, for kilkol hadin, for dayanim, perverting justice, and the ephod is mechaper for hirah avodah zarah. So he says that the reason why the ephod is put before the choshen is because kilkol hadin, perverting justice, is more severe than avodah zarah. And he says you cannot attain kapara for kilkol adin, unless you're mafayis chaviro betchil. You have to go appease your friend first before you can get kapara for that. But he says the reason why we list the ephod first is because we think, in our perception, that avodah zarah is more chaviro. This is the classic issue where people typically tend to assume that mitzvos, beradun lamakom, are like this. But lachaviro is like, oh, whatever. Beradun lachaviro is like, I could do what I want, as long as whatever I do feels good. Beradun lachaviro is as much part of Shulchan Aruch as beradun lamakom is. It's all of Choshen Mishpat, it's a lot of Evan Ezer, it's some of your day, there's a lot of it on the Chavir and Shulchan Aruch, maybe as much if not more than Beradun Lamakom. So he says that we have the opposite perspective. HaKadosh Baruch Hu stresses the Beradun Lachavir component, we stress the Beradun Lamakom component. It kind of works both ways. Then the Kli Yakar points out that when it comes to the Parshas Matos, the pasuk says Nikom Nikmas B'nei Zom Eis HaMidyanim, and the pasuk talks about how we're going to avenge Midyan. So the Kli Yakar points out or here and also there, he says that we would have delayed avenging. We know that Moshe Rabbeinu's death was totally on us avenging and ultimately destroying Midian. So he says that we obviously, if we had known that, we would have delayed killing Midian so Moshe could live longer. But Moshe commanded us to do it dafka b'simcha because he would be a slight to Kavod Hashem to not carry out his tzivu. Hashem told us to avenge Midian, so I'm going to die. So what? We have to go carry out what HaKadosh Baruch Hu told us to do. Then also one of the gadim was the Michnasayim, right? The Michnasayim, the Gemara points out, was mechaper for Erva Bitsina, was mechaper for Arayos, right? Because the pasuk says about the Michnasayim, it says Lechasos Bisar Erva. That was the purpose, to cover up the Makom Erva. The Tzitz was mechaper for Arayos Befarhesia, for doing Avera of Arayos Befarhesia. And that's what it says on the Tzitz. It says Kodesh La Hashem, because whenever you have Kedusha, there's a Geder Erva. It's a famous idea that Rashi and Kedoshim quotes, the Ramana Kedoshim quotes, right? The idea about how the Shorish Kuf Dalachin can either mean holy, or the word Kedesha also, same Shorish, means a prostitute. So it can mean, in other words, that same word can have multiple connotations. The Gemara in Yuma points out that on the Tzitz it said Kodesh LaHashem. The Gemara records in Machlokes whether Kodesh LaHashem was written on one line of the Tzitz or on two lines. Was it written Kodesh LaHashem like this, or was it written Kodesh LaHashem like that? On the end of one line, the beginning of the second line? What?
What daf is that?
It's in the beginning of Yuma, I think. So the Gemara says, I think it was Rabbi Yossi Bar Chanina, if I'm not mistaken. He went to Rome, probably went to the Vatican, and he said he saw that the Tzitz was like this. It was on two different lines. So everyone asks, the Rambam paskins that the Tzitz is written on one line. So everyone says, what do you mean? How could the Rambam paskin against what he saw in Rome? So the Kesem Mishnah already explains. The Pshat is that it was really there were multiple Tzitzin that were made, and it wasn't one Tzitz, and every Kohen had a different head size. So it wasn't, you know, it wasn't like one size fits all. Every Tzitz was different, and it wasn't, and neither way was ma'akev. Either one was perfectly valid. Then he Kliyakar points out also that the Tzitz was made specifically for Aaron. That's why it says Va'asisa Vigdei Kodesh LiAaron Achicha. But he says when it comes to the Michnasayim, so in other words, pants Michnasayim are something which is universal. Everybody wears. And that's why it was specifically sanctified as a gather ever. The Tzitz didn't need to be sanctified anymore because it was already unusual. No one else wore a Tzitz except for Aaron. That's why it says Va'asuas Vigdei Aaron LiKadosho. It says Va'asisa Vigdei Kodesh LiAaron because the Tzitz was something unique for Aaron. But he says when it comes to Michnasayim, it says Va'asisa Vigdei Aaron because the begadim were the begadim were kind of like generic. Everyone wore the begadim, and therefore you take the begadim that Aaron had, and you're going to sanctify them even further. The pasuk says ve'asu es ha'ifod. The pasuk describes the structure of the ephod. So the Kliyaka writes that the ephod is mechaper for avodah zara, and they were all involved in the chait of the egel. It says, but avodah zara, the ikar is the machshava, is what you believe, is the cheshev ha'ifod, which is kind of a little bit of play on words. The pasuk, right? It's all about the machshava. He says that's why by avodah zara, it's a famous word. The Kliyaka says the parsha Shmini also that the word by typically whenever a person brings a carbon, it was an ola and a chatas. The chatas always comes before the ola, except by avodah zara, the ola comes first because the ola is mechaper for hear her hachid, and therefore he says hear her is more severe by avodah zara. Because by avodah zara, if you do a ma'aseh avodah zara, it's fine. So like you did another year, did ma'aseh avodah zara, big deal, it's done. Because when it comes to machshavas avodah zara, that's something which lingers all the time. That's something which you can't get rid of. That's why you bring the ola first. Okay, then the pasuk says. So then the pasuk says velakachta shteiv nei shoan. Which are the stones of the ephod, right, that you put onto the stones of the choshen you put onto the ephod. So the Kliyaka writes that the two avnei shoham represent the breaking of the two luchos, and it says when we remember Hashem, we're going to be zocha to have al shteik sefav lezikaro. We're going to have the ephod and the choshen on us as a zecher for Hakadosh Baruch Hu. The pasuk says ufitachta alehem. You're going to carve out into the stones of the choshen. You're going to carve out the names of the shvatim. You're going to carve out the shame of Hashem. So the Dasikinim writes that the letters were sung within the stones, but they were what's called boltos mibifnim. In other words, they protruded from the inside, but they were sunk in on the outside. So therefore, he says that's why it says. Plus, it says one time it says shemos alo avanim, and it says avanim al hashemos. In other words, it was both. The names were in the stones, and the stones was on the name. It kind of worked both ways. There are gemaras about this. Gemara in Rosh Hashanah, Gemara in Avodah Zarah talks about this, about not having 3D images, not having certain images if they're sunk in, if they're boltos, if they're shakuos, if they're sunk in, if they're not sunk in. So it's a similar kind of idea. The pasuk says, "Right, maseicha rash even pituchei chosam tifatach eshtei avanim al shmos bnei Yisrael." You have this like craftsman work that you carve out the stones. You carve out the names of the shvatim on the stones. So the Chassid Sofer writes that the shoham, one of the stones on the ephod, is represents Yosef, who is chen. You know, Yosef, right? That Yosef, right, found chen. The inay sar beisasohar. He was the person who represented chen. Says there were two avni shoham on the kisvos ephod, which represents the fact that we ask Hakadosh Baruch Hu for chen both on this world and in the next world for Hakadosh Baruch Hu to give us chen. The pasuk says kisola dosam. The names of the shvatim were written on the stones like the order of their birth. What does that mean? So Das Kenan writes that the order of their birth was based on how the imahus gave birth to them, right? It wasn't what we think of Reuven, Shimon, Levi, Yehuda, Yisachar, Zvon. It was based on the psukim, you know, how they were given birth from Rachel to Leah to Bilhah and Zilpah. And alternatively, he says another pshat, like, Kisola means that the way Yaakov called them, which was Reuven, Shimon, Levi, as opposed to the way that Moshe called them, which was Reuveni or Shimoni. Apparently, that was probably the way that Moshe referred to the shvatim. And the pasuk says v'samta kisvosa yifod avnitzi karun lifnei Hashem. So the Chassid Sofer writes that the names of the shvatim were mixed up. Al kisvosa yifod. The names were mixed up on the shoulder straps of the ephod because each shevet had something from the other shaving. We know Rashi parshas Vayechi quotes this. Rashi, in the end of Vayechi, the pasuk says Ish Asher Kevircha So Berachosam. So Rashi quotes that although each shaven excelled and Naftali was really fast and Dan was really strong, whatever, just every shaven had a little bit from every other shaven, but whatever that shaven was good at, that's what they excelled at. In other words, Naftali was really good, was really fast, but every other shaven also had a little bit of people who were quick, right? It wasn't exclusively Naftali. So therefore, he says that each of the shvatim had a little bit from each other, but he says when it comes to the Urim V'Tumim, however, they each had their special tzinor of Kedusha. Each of them had a separate thing. There was no mixing between the names. Each one was totally separate. Then the Chas Sofer points out that the Ephod represent the Hamon Am who follow after Hashem, but the Choshen is actually in the front. The Ephod's in the back, the Kisvot are in the back, and the Choshen is hanging down in the front of the Kohen because it represents the Avos. And he says that the Choshen is Rashi tables for Chut, Tzroch, Nal. Right? Those are the three that the Pasuk in Lech Lecha by Avram, the Im Michut, V'Yad, Tzroch, Nal, Im Akach, Mikol, Asher, Lach. Right, Avram says to the Melech Sodom, I'm not going to take anything from you, not even a shoestrap, not even. And the Medrash points out famously that because Avram said that, we were zochet tzitzis, and we were zochet to the mitzvah chalitz, and all these different things based on shoes, and based on shlises, and strings, and whatever. So the Chasam Sofer points out that he says that, again, that represents Avram, and he says also, that the letters Mem Tzadi Kuf Tes are not on the Ephod because that's a Rashi that was for Chalitza, Tzitzis, Kesher, and Totachos. It's for Tfilin, Tzitzis, and Chalitza, and he says it wasn't on the Ephod. It says the Avos and the other Tzadikim, they walked in front of Hashem. The reason why the Ephod was hanging down in front of the Kohen is because the Avos, right, who says that, you know, that the famous quote that Rashi was between Noach and Avram, that Avram, right, Avram was Kisalich with Fanai, right, so he says Avram actively walked in front of Hashem, and therefore the Ephod was in front. The Hamon Am, or the Ephod, they're in back. They're kind of stragglers, they follow along. The pasuk says Vasisa Choshen Mishpat Maasei Choshev. So the Kliyaka writes that the Choshen, the reason why the Choshen, as we mentioned before, is considered to be Maasei Choshev, is because the Dayan can be Mekal Kaladin, and only Hashem would know about it. No one else would know. If a Dayan perverted justice, no one else would know about it. He says again, the Choshen is similar to the Ephod because once the Dayan starts to be Mekal Kaladin, that leads to the destruction of the world, much like Avodah Zarah leads to the destruction of the world. We said before that the Choshen is Mechaper for the Ephod is Mechaper for Avodah Zarah, and therefore they play similar functions in that regard. Then the Chazor says, "Wild child." The pasuk talks about the measurements of the Choshen. So it says, "Zeres arkov, zeres rachbo kafol." It was like a pinky or a fingers, like width and length doubled over. So Chazor writes that within the Dalet Amud Shel Halacha, you have 8x8. So the Gemara in Sota says you can have, there's a heter to have shminish of a shminis of gaiva. The Gemara says that a Talmud Chacham is allowed to have an eighth of an eighth of gaiva, 1/64 of gaiva, if he's a Talmud Chacham, which is a zeres apparently, which is the shear in the pasuk. So he explains that the Dalet Amos of Torah are Mikra, Mishnah, Talmud, and Halacha. He says the Torah is further divided up into Eidos, Chukim, Mitzvos, Umishpatim. So each one has Dalet Amos. The Torah is further divided up into Aseis and Lavs, which is a total at this point of 32 parts. Then the Ramban writes that you have Ikar Adin and you have Lifnei Mishuras Adin, or we call Midas Chasidus, and then you have Shvusim for Shabbos, you have Asisa Hayasher Vatov, which is Benad Machavero. So he says basically until you get 64, which is Shmini Shabbos. So he says when a person is holding in all these different areas of Torah and everything we just mentioned before, then you can have a Shmini Shabbos of Gaiva. That's how the Chasover understands that. And he says that's why Aaron, who had all of these traits, was Zochet to the Choshen, which is Machaper Levus Hadin. He was the person who was Zochet to have the Choshen on his heart. Okay. The pasuk says umile savo milu aseven arbad to remove it, and the pasuk describes the four different rows of the stones of the Choshen. The pasuk tells you all the different colors and gems and whatever was the stones that were on the Choshen. So the Kliyaka writes that you have three stones because the Gemara in Sanhedrin are in Bezna Pachos Migimel, right? At the minimal Bezna is three people, and also the concept of Tocha Kabaro, you have to have people, you know, the inside has to be as pure as the outside. And he says also, he says some of the stones were more expensive than others to show that the famous idea of the Gemara quotes in the pasuk in Parshas Devarim, right? The pasuk says Kaka Ton Kaga. So one shot the Gemara has is that you have to take as seriously a case of Din Meyek and Din Pruta, that no matter how much or how little money is involved in the case, you have to take it as just as seriously. And he says also another Jewish Gemara has is that no, even if a millionaire is willing to go to his case, he doesn't take precedence over the Ani who's going through a court case right now. And he says a Dayan also should not have any Gas Saruach. A judge shouldn't feel haughty because he's a Dayan. The pasuk says, "V'ha'avanim tiyana al shmos bnei Yisrael shtei mesrei al shmosam." You have the 12 names of the shvatim on the stones. So the Chasam Sofer writes that the 12 stones brought the koach of each shevet to the other shvatim. As I mentioned before, that on the Choshen they kind of mixed and matched their different kochos, so those stones kind of moved all that around. The pasuk says it's an iser v'lo yizach hachoshen me'al ha'ifod. There's an iser to remove the stones of the choshen from on the ephod. So the Chasover writes based on this idea that a person should not point a dayan she'eno hagim. So we already spoke about this before, that, you know, a person can't have tassus aruach. A person who's a dayan has to really be fit to be a dayan. Then the Chasover quotes another idea in this pasuk, that the pasuk is telling us that HaKadosh Baruch Hu will never forget us even b'shas ha'churban. The idea is that Hashem will never remove the choshen from the ephod, that we're always going to be connected to Hashem in that regard. Then he says that the kisvos ha'ifod are mechaper for abizrayu avodazara. What's abizrayu avodazara referring to? So the Gemara says a person who gets angry, a person who has gaiva, the Gemara compares those things to a person who's over at avodazara. So he says the kisvos ha'ifod are mechaper for those kinds of things that are not real avodazara, but they're kind of like avodazara. Pasuk says, says that the coin is going to carry the choshen mishpat on his heart. So the chasam sofer writes that a baby nurses, is a fascinating idea, says that human beings, when they nurse, so you nurse from a woman's breast, says the breasts are on the woman's chest. The chest is the makom habina, makom hadeya, right, where the lave is. It says, in contrast, most animals, when they nurse, they nurse from the udders. The udders are what we call in the makom hatinofes. That's like in that area of the body. So he says, why is it that we're zochet to nurse from the makom habina? So he also points out that the neviim of the umos ha'olam, when they have nevuah, so he says they use kishuv and they use all these, you know, these tumadi things, which is also like the makom hatinofes. It says therefore they use the ephod, because the ephod is the scene, it's like the apron from behind. It always represents the makom hatinofes, the back. But he says, but we the kohen gadol use the urim v'tumim, which is the alibo, because alibo is the makom hadeya, the makom habina. So we always use a thing that, you know, we always use what's in front. And the Kli Yakar points to the pasuk, says that the meil is made out of tcheles, right? It's meil ephod kliot tcheles. So the Kli Yakar writes that the dayanim light up the world, and therefore they're called the Einei Ha'ida. The pasuk in Parsha Shlach refers to the Yadim as the Einei Ha'ida, because they're the ones who light up the world, they bring light to the world. The Me'il is Mechaper for Lashon Hara, and we know the famous Gemara Menachos, but Titzes, Atchilos, as Dom Eliyam, and Yam L'Rakia, and Rakia L'Kisei HaKavod. It reminds you that Kadosh Baruch Hu is always watching. He says, when you look at the Rakia and the Yam, and you see that they're not Mishan and Midaso. He says that the Mishan is not just, it's glue, so I'm going to look there and it's the Kisei HaKavod. He says, the Mishan is that you look at the Yam and the Rakia and you notice that they do what Hashem tells them to do. So he says, you should also learn from that. Do what Hashem tells you to do and not to be Mishana from what Hashem tells you. Yeah, that's the Kli Yakar. And he says also, another Mishan he says is that you should look at the Kisei HaKavod and then you're going to speak less. Why would you speak less? Look at the Kisei HaKavod. Then there's the Mechaber for Lashon Hara. Because the Pasuk in Kohelet says, Ki Elokim b'Hashemayim b'Ato al Aretz Alkein Yud Dvarecha Me'atim. Says when you realize that Hashem is up there and you're down here, so you're going to kind of, you know, be quiet a little bit because you realize it kind of puts you in your place. Then the Kli Yakar points out that the tongue is protected by two parts of the mouth. And he says if you don't speak Dvarim Asurim, so you're going to be protected. And the way to misakin your tongue, your lashon, is by speaking Dvarim Shavakusha. The Edil Pasuk Parshas Matos Lo Yachel Dvaro. Torah says not to profane, not to go against any nether that you took. And also he points out that it doesn't say Maaseh Choshev over here by the ephod, because he says a lashon is only Bedibor, it's only what you do with your mouth. And he says that the Pamon V'Rimon, the bells on the Big Day Kahuna, he says that represents the tongue speaking. That's like the same thing, because in other words, that's Rashi goes. When the Kohen Gadol would enter somewhere, everyone knew he was coming because you could hear the bells clinging when he walked around. Pasuk says V'asisa tzitz zahav tohar. The tzitz is made out of pure gold. So the Kli Yakar writes that just as the tzitz is mechaper for the avon hakadosh, the pasuk says beferish, it's mechaper for any aver that's something karbanos, the kachim, pigol, noser, things like that. So it's also mechaper for meitzach isha zona. Pasuk in Yirmiyahu, meitzach isha zona hayolach, when you have an avera which relates to znus, relates to gasus, aruach also, relates to things of haughtiness and stubbornness and things like that. So he says that's something which is metame kedusha. So Adam is mechaper for that. He says that the tchilas is a reminder not to stray after his nose, because the famous Gemara Menachos Mem Dalid writes a story about the guy who hired out the zona, and the tzitzit hit him in the face. Right, you know, the tzitzit hit the guy in the face. He was about to have a ma'isabia with the zona, and then eventually he didn't have the ma'isabia because tzitzit are considered to be a form of shmira. Then the Kli Yakar pointed also that it says Kodesh LaHashem in the context of Mitzitz, and we meals made out of Chelas, and the Mitznefes, or the turban, is also, they all prevent Nus, because the Mitznefes counters Gasos HaRuach, because the Gemara says that a person who has Gasos HaRuach, it's Kivu Baal Kol HaRayim. So he says, therefore, the Mitznefes, which is on top of your head, so it's going to prevent you from having haughtiness. The Pasuk says that you have to have Pituchecho, some Kodesh LaHashem, so the Chasim Sofer writes that we have the most Azus. We know that Kali Yisrael is always referred to as an Am Kshei Oref. We're considered to be a stiff necked nation, but he says that our Azus is only Kodesh LaHashem. The way we channel our stubbornness, our stiff neckedness, is only towards Hashem. It's only to stand up against those people who are Cholkim against the Kodesh Baruch, who are Cholkim Be'emuna against Hashem. But he says fundamentally we're really Baishanim. Right? It's almost like a steer. The Mishnah of Avu says that one of the three traits that defines Kali Yisrael is that we're Baishanim, Rachmanim, Gomel Chasayim. So how could he be called Am Kshei Oref, also called Baishanim? So Marshan Yivamos says with this issue also, but the Chasam Sofer says the Pshat is that really we're only an Am Kshei Oref Lagavi, those people who are against Hashem, but fundamentally were really by Shanim. The pasuk says Vishibatzlak so nashesh vasisa mitznefes shesh vavnit right vavnit tasa masi rokim. You make the mitznefes and the avnit. So the Kliyaka writes that the shvichos damim of Mechiras Yosef, the consequence of what happened with Mechiras Yosef, they play out in every single generation. There's another, like, you know, that idea gets played out again. He also points out that the ksonas passive was what led to the shiva Mitzrayim. The Gemara Megillah says this, right, that because of the extra two sell of the ksonas passive cost over the other begotten that the brothers wore, that led to jealousy and eventually it spiraled out of control and it led to shiva Mitzrayim. So he points out also, the Kliyaka points out that the guf is the ksonas umalbush. Our body is our cloak, it's our clothing. And therefore, it's comparable with Guf HaNirtzach. And he says also that the six Ari Miklat that we have on Ivra HaYardin and also in Eretz Yisrael, they correspond to the Karban of Kayin and Hevel. I don't fully understand how that works, but he says apparently those correspond to the Karban of Kayin and Hevel. Then he says that the Mitznefesh Sheish, the purple Mitznefesh he was wearing, is Mechaper for Gas Saruach, because the word Sheish is similar, kind of similar to. The Sheish is something which are worn by nobles. One of the colors that Mordechai wears, actually, right? It's kind of similar to Argaman is always considered a royal color, so Shesh and Argaman are probably pretty similar purple-ish kind of colors. So it says Shesh represents Big Day Srara. The Avni is Mechaper for Hir Hur Haliv, and therefore it's 32 Amos Arko. It's Lamed Beis. Leave Amos Arko, because it represents for Hir Hur Haliv. As mentioned before, here, but the concept of Avodah Zarah, Hir Hur is worse than the Maisa Avera itself. Then the Michnas Sebar, as we mentioned right before, is the Gili Arayos, Mechaper for the most Chamor Averos. And also, you know, the famous Gemara Shabbos, in the context, you know, the Gemara Shabbos talks about the Gemara wanted to convert Almanas to teach the Torah on one foot. So, and one of the other stories in that Gemara is one of the guys wanted to convert Almanas to wear the Big Day Kahuna. So, Gemara says, so why do you want to wear the Big Day Kahuna? So, Kliyaker says he wanted to wear the Big Day Kahuna because he had done all these Averos and needed Kapara. So, he thought he would get Kapara by wearing the Big Day Kahuna, and that would affect Kapara for all the things that he had done. Then the Kliyaker points out fascinatingly, he says that Achashverosh had the same mentality. He says that the Gemara singles out the Choshen because it was the most holy of the Begadim, and it had Shem Hashem. And it had the 12 Shvatim, and the stone that the Gemara actually singles out specifically is Tarshish, because Tarshish Gemara is a contraction of Treshish, which is 6 times 2, which will represent the 12 Shvatim. If you look at the Gemara Megillah, the Gemara talks about how the Malachim come to praise Klal Yisrael. They say, oh look, Klal Yisrael, they bring Parim B'nei Shana, and they bring all these Karbanos and whatever, and look what the Goyim are doing. They don't bring Karbanos, and they don't sing Shiros with the Shvachos, and they don't do any of these things, so let's praise Klal Yisrael. So the Kliyaker says, the Goyim are not Mechayev to bring Karbanos. So what are you propping up Klal Yisrael for by saying, look, the Goyim, they're not bringing Karbanos, and they're not wearing Tillin. Of course they're not doing that. They're not Mechayev to do any of those things. How could the Malachim praise Klal Yisrael in that context over the Umos Olam by saying, they're doing Karbanos? So what does that mean? So the Kliyaker explains, and also the other question is, the Gemara also points out, the Pasuk says, V'hashtiach hadas einonis. And the Gemara says there. So one shot the Gemara says is that it was Kedas Shel Torah, which means that Achashverosh Suda followed the law of the Torah. What does that mean? So the Gemara says that just as when it comes to achilas mizbech, when it comes to the consumption of liquids and solids in the mizbech, there's a higher rate of solid consumption than liquid consumption, right? There's a much higher rate. You know, most of the things that the mizbech consumes are solids and not liquids. So Achashverosh also wanted to have a suda where there was achilas merub mishtiyah. So why is Achashverosh having a suda that's patterned to achilas mizbech? What does that mean? What do the words mean? So the Kliyaker says this: Achashverosh didn't want there to be a kitrug, to be something bad against him for having a large suda without bringing a karban. So he tried to pattern it after Achashverosh. He wanted to show some form of a huda. He didn't want to have a large suda without having any recognition of Hashem. Then he says, why did Achashverosh want to wear the big day kahuna for? Was he crazy? Why was the big day kahuna? So he thought. So we know, of course, the Gemara points out that Baal Shetzer made the same mistake, right? And he died for it. So how could Achashverosh make the same dumb mistake that Baal Shetzer did? So he says Achashverosh wanted to wear the big day kahuna as a kapara. So he thought Baal Shetzer's problem was like this. The pasuk in Daniel describes Baal Shetzer as a person where he was makabel mea darachamer. He drank 100,000 barrels of wine. He drank a lot. So the Gemara points out, actually, the Gemara has a whole conversation between Vashti and Achashverosh. Vashti says to Achashverosh, he says, how could you? You know, he says, my grandfather Baal Shetzer, he could drink 1,000 barrels of wine, he wouldn't get drunk, and you drink one little thing and you get totally drunk. And Achashverosh got mad at her and then eventually killed her because of that. So he says Baal Shetzer, he thought Baal Shetzer's mistake was that he drank more than he ate. So he wanted to be masaking that by having more food than drink. So he says that's why, and he says also, if you look at the psukim, the Gemara Megillah is a drasha. When Achashverosh is officers, it says, right, it says, Karshinah Sheisarad Masa Sarshish Merish Marasanam Mimuchan. So the Gemara says that all those names of the officers were Alshum Karbanos Namar. All those names are really reflective of these ideas. The Malachim say, oh look, do they bring Karim Ben Ishana? Do they build a Mizbah Adama? All these things that relate to Karbanos. He says that the Malachim said that that's not considered a Karban, what Achashverosh is doing. And he says, the Kliyaker points out that, so why talk it wasn't Achashverosh killed? He did those same stupid things that Baal Shem Tov did. Just because Achashverosh was just a bumbling idiot. He was doing everything b'shogi. He wasn't doing anything b'chavan alahakis. He actually had good intentions, it sounds like. He just totally missed the boat on everything. Then the Chasam Sofer points out the pasuk says, "V'levnei Aharon ta'aseh kutanos." You make these begadim for the Bnei Aharon. So the Chasam Sofer writes that each one wore one of these kutanos, or kitun in singular. So it's just like matanos levyonim. The din is you have to give two manos for to two people. That's a din matanos levyonim. Fine. Then the pasuk says. Yeah, the pasuk says, "Kisrumahu usrumayihyeh." So Chasam Sofer writes that the dibur was miyachid in Moshe. I mean, Hakadosh Baruch Hu only spoke with Moshe for a truma, the truma of his life. So you think about it. He says, "What does that mean?" He says, "It's unbelievable." Moshe lived for 120 years. So he says, if you take a truma, the truma, which I guess would be, I don't know, if it's a 50th, a 40th, whatever the shir is, he says the cheshbon is that Hashem spoke to Moshe for a total of 2 years and 5 months. That's the amount of time that Hashem spoke to Moshe. That was it. 2 years and 5 months. That's like 4/5 of Torah is that. It's 2 years and 5 months, which is just an unbelievable idea. So that was it. Out of 120 years. And we know, of course, the Medrash points out that the 38 years in the Midbar, Hashem didn't speak to Moshe b'chlal because he was saying it was Klal Yisrael, so Moshe only heard from Hashem because Klal Yisrael in the first place. Then the pasuk says, "Ufar chatas tasel layom ala kippurim," towards the end of the parsha. So the Chasam Sofer writes that the par chatas for Yom Kippur was mechaper for those who didn't want to give willingly, and it was kind of like he says that the mizbech was mechaper for any person who brought a karban that was bizarres or b'tiyuv. He did something like abominable, so that the mizbech was mechaper for that. The pasuk says, "Vizeh asher tasel hamizbech." So the Chasam Sofer writes that even though you don't, he says normally when a person shechts an animal, so let's say the animal has, in other words, the makom hashchita in general is the neck. Okay, so you don't have to like get, you know, the exact middle part. If you shach the neck and you did it one clean cut, so it's a kasher shchita. He says, I don't know if it's true halacha. He says by kachim, however, it's not true. By kachim, he says you need to find a precise point on the neck to shach, and it needs to be the exact point. Why? Make it see. He says because there's a din. The Gemara says that you're not allowed to chop up the kachim too much. The pasuk says the Gemara has a drusha. It says you have to have the carbon lin nesachim with a tough lin sachim, the lo nesachehal lin sachim, and you can't chop it up too much. The kachim can only be cut up once. It can't be cut up multiple times. And he says also the word Zez, Gematria is 12, you have to have 12 bedikos. And he says, this is what the Medrash says, that Moshe was Neskasha, that Moshe didn't understand why, what the difference between Kachim and the regular carbon was in this regard. Why do you have to be so precise about the Shechita? Then he says also, the pasuk describes, says, Olas Tamed Doros Yechem, this is another rehashing of the carbon Tamed of Parashat Tzav, we see in Parashat Pesach, and also very, very similar to the Shoshim Sokim, here and there. It says, Pesach Omoy Lefnei Hashem, Asher Yivoyid Lachem Shama, L'daber Eilach Hasham. So the Chasu points out that obviously Sham and Shama are Luzachar and Akiva, so he points out that Hashem is going to make Moshe the Mashpiach, and he says that the word Sham is Belashon Zachar. Zachar is, of course, always the person who gives, or Zachar is always the Mashpiach, and he says that the Akiva is always the Makabel, so Klal Yisrael is Shama, they're the Kabbal of Moshe Shefa. The pasuk says, "V'noati shama livnei Yisrael." So the Chasam Sofer writes that all types of Jews with all types of emuna are included as part of the mizbech. He says, just the famous part, the one krisos and the avav, the chelbina, right? One of the ingredients of the Torah, even though it didn't smell good, but it was all part of everything. So he says that's usually true. He says that even the poshe Yisrael, but gufan the Gemara Rosh Hashanah, it's on the avav and krisos. Yeah. So there's a Gemara Rosh Hashanah also. The Gemara talks about even the poshe Yisrael, but gufan, right? The people, you know, the karkaf, the manach tefillin, people don't wear tefillin, they're also part of Klal Yisrael. He says, however, when it comes to Haman and Mordechai, it's not true. He says Haman, even though his Haman is not part of this collective group. He says that's a famous var. The Gemara Megillah says that the word next parsha Sukkim list the ingredients of the Torah. So one, the first ingredient is Mar Deror. So Targum Unkelus says Mar Deror, Mari Dachis. So the Gemara says Mari Dachis is a remnant from Mordechai. So the Chasam points out that Mari Dachis, Mordechai, in contrast to Haman, who's considered Busman Nuchrayin. He's like a foreign spice, and therefore he doesn't mix it with everyone else. Then the pasuk at the end of the parsha says Va'asisa Mizbeach Miktar Ketores. You have the Mizbeach HaKetores, so the Kliyaka writes that the Mizbach HaNechoshes is Mechaper for our Guf, which is 3 amos, our body apparently, average height apparently is 3 amos, and the Mizbach HaKetores is Mechaper for our Neshama. So two different components of the two Mizbachs. It says that the Mizbach was 1 amah wide by 1 amah by 1 amah long, because the Neshama is Yechida like Hashem. The Neshama is unique, it's singular. He says, but the height of the Mizbach was 2 amos, because the Neshama is always striving upwards, always striving to grow even further. And then we also offer a karban ba'erev u'bavoker to be mechaper for any chatayim that we did, so that this way our neshama should be pure like when it first came into our body. Then the Kli Yakar points out that if you take a look at some of the kelim in the Beis HaMikdash, they had a zer zahav sub, that there was this golden like fence around it. So he says the zer zahav represents the schar of tzaddikim in Olam Haba, and the tzaddikim there are nene from Mizev HaShchina. And he says that we lost the crown by Nasa Benisho, right, we see in next week's parasha after the Chayda Eagle, right, says Vayistatlua said Yame Har Choriv, we lost our crowns at our Sinai, and we're going to get that back in the future. Then Das Kinnam is a cute part here. Al Shnei Tzidav says, how could two people stand in one Amma of the Mizbeach? He says there was one person standing on each side of the Ba'ad, and they were the ones holding up the Mizbeach. And then finally, the pasuk at the end of the parasha says, V'chipera Haron al Karno Sav Achaz Ba'ashana. It's talking about the Avodah of Yom Kippur, that Aaron was Mechaper once a year. So the Kli Yakar writes that Yom Kippur purifies a person like a Malach, and the Neshama goes back to its original state of Tahara. That's what it means, V'chipera Haron al Karno Sav Achaz Ba'ashana. That's referring to the Tahara of Yom Kippur.
Huh?